Well, you may not believe this, but I write out my homilies every week. I don't bring them up here, but there's something I wanted to read here. It's been 2 years almost since we had the great financial collapse in October of 2008, when the stock market suddenly had a free fall, and then the housing, you know, began its collapse. And the Pope had something very interesting to say at that time. I thought it was one of the most interesting comments that I heard. This is written after the fact. It's not a prophecy. And he made a comment the same week that this happened. He said, "We see it now in the fall of the great banks. This money disappears. It is nothing. He who builds only on things that are visible and tangible, on success, a career, money, he is building on sand. They seem to be real, but one day they will pass away." And because they seem so real, we tend to put more emphasis on the things we see instead of on the Word of God, which is going to last forever. How fortunate we are to hear the words of Christ. So many are too busy today to hear these words. And yet, these words can be an immense help to God, to us as we follow God. Listen to what Christ says 2,000 years ago. You know, things have not changed that much in 2,000 years. He said, "I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth. So when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." When it fails. And he says, the people of this world, worldly people, are shrewder than the people of God. Meaning, they know how to get what they need for themselves. They don't care if it's honest or dishonest. They put themselves squarely down on the side of money and possessions, and they know how to get it. But the people of God don't understand how important it is to follow the way of the truth, which is actually the best thing we can possibly do. What does Christ say when he says, when it fails? Well, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is death. At death, our money fails us. It cannot go any further than that. That's an obvious one. It is a blessing to have enough resources to get us to the end of our lives. Some people here are enrolled in Financial Peace University to try to help with that, and that's a great thing. The Lord wants to bless that. If, on the other hand, my goal in life is to make as much money as possible and leave a big pile of it somewhere, and I never used it, that person is a fool. What good is that? Somebody after the last Mass told me that there was a Mr. Binion who lived in Las Vegas. Many of you have heard of the casino. When he died, they found all kinds of silver buried in the ground all over the place that he had buried. You can't take it with you. Another way that money fails us is that it can help us to stay well, but only go so far. There comes a point when no amount of money can change the way things are going to go. That's when they call the priest to come in. I go where money cannot go. You know what it's called? Prayer. That's what we have in the end. So don't think money's going to save you. It can only get us so far. And a third way that money fails us that you may not think of is it cannot buy real friendship. We can give things to our friends out of love, but if we buy our friendships, people are going to love us for what we own and not for who we are. So our Lord says, be shrewd in how you deal with things. I was, 30 years ago, I was sitting in church. I was thinking about becoming a priest. I was already working for the airline. And I heard a sermon that changed my life. I've mentioned it before, but you know, it bears repeating. because it was one of those moments when life really changed. He was saying, it was a, you know, that you've heard of the Sermon on the Mount, right? This was a money sermon, so it was a sermon on the out. Anyway, I like that. This, you're friendlier than the last mass. They didn't laugh at it, but I think it's funny. But you know, the Lord talks incessantly about investments and about how we treat people. And you know what? They're both the same thing. How about that? And so we have to look at this. And he said, what I want you guys to do is to go home and get out a sheet of paper and write down to the best of your ability what you have been giving everywhere in your life in the last year. Whether in our case, McNary Band Day, the St. Patrick Fathers that were here, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, you dropped off some books for the book sale, you know, you bought a ticket to the Father Taft dinner that the Knights of Columbus are putting out, that's an act of charity. You gave to St. Edward's, can't forget that one. And now, what percent of my income is this? And have I thought about it? This is the key. It's not a matter of what percent exactly, is that we have thought about it, that it's part of my budget, it's part of my life. God's not an afterthought. I'm only going to give something to others if I have an abundance. That's not how it works. It's an investment. But if you don't believe there's anybody that's going to come back, that's going to pay off on that investment, then it's not a very good investment, is it? Looks to me like a lot of the things that people were counting on aren't paying off very well right now. Maybe we should look at God a little more. Well, how does he pay off? Well, sometimes he pays off in this world, and sometimes he pays off in the next world. But we always are paid off by the joy we have that we have influenced somebody's life. And after that, we can look and see, how much time do I give to God? We're all in a different place here. We're not all contemplative monks. The monks at Mount Angel can give more time. But how much time do I spend on the internet, the TV, the movies, my cell phone? I have to periodically review my life and say, am I out of balance here? Am I really spending enough time in prayer? I'll bet you every one of us is a very small fraction of that we spend with God. That includes Mass. I like to think of life as kind of like, it's a game of Monopoly. It's very real. But there comes a time when we have to fold up the game and let someone else play. We put the homes back, the little plastic homes back, and the deeds that we had collected, and sometimes we got a nice corner and made a lot of money, but we have to put it all back. And our Lord says very clearly, he's watching us. This is the key to this. We're in the middle of a test, another one of God's great themes. And he says, if you're not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who's going to trust you with real wealth? Who's the one with the real wealth? God. And then he says, if you're not trustworthy with what belongs to someone else, who's going to give you what is yours? So everything we have right now is borrowed. It all belongs to God. We can't keep a darn thing, not even our own bodies. But there's a time coming. The Lord is watching how we play the game of Monopoly, if you will. And depending on how we have played the game, he's going to give us what is ours, and it's not going to be equal. So these are very critical questions. I was in New York about 4 years ago, and a group of us priests, which I've mentioned before, also went to see Benedict Rochelle. We went to a retreat in Larchmont, New York. And after that, we went to New York City. Now, I've been there a number of times, but I've never taken the bus tour. You know, those double-decker buses, we were so tired of walking, we said, look, there's a bus, let's get on it. It's a tourist bus, let's just get on it. It was hot, we were enjoying the cool air. And it was really cool, you know. The first place they took us to was the financial district, which, you know, is exciting if you've never seen that. And so they took us there, and then I remember Another place that was really interesting was the Ed Sullivan Theater. Some of you may remember watching Ed Sullivan there. I used to watch What's My Line. That's where it was filmed. I thought, you can just see Arlene Francis walking through the door there, you know. I thought, oh, exciting. So in the middle of all that stuff, I happened to look down, just by coincidence, not looking for it, not knowing where it was, not even knowing it was there. And there in a little teeny little place, it was really a small little shop, the Xavier Society for the Blind, national headquarters. I'd forgotten they're in New York. It's a little charity that I have found over the years is a really good one, because I've always had a soft spot for the blind, you know. And so I looked at that, and then I heard the Lord say to me, not out loud, but it was in my heart, he said, now, that's a real investment. There's one of your investments. That's what the Lord said to me. I wanted to show you one of your investments. Never mind Wall Street. This is an investment that's really going to pay off for you. And I thought, what a blessing to have seen that. I knew it was a sign from God. And I wanted to share it with you, because the Lord is very, he's very generous, you know. And I was thinking, it's been 2.5 years since I lost my sight in my left eye. I didn't realize that I might be joining these people that take advantage of these services that these people offer. You have to wonder, my physician down at the Casey Medical Center at OHSU told me that he said he just can't believe how well I did. He said, you're better than 99.9% of those who lose their entire retina. I got most of my vision back. You think there might be a connection there? Maybe. I don't know. I have a feeling that we're going to be very surprised on the last day, both by our generosity and the times that we were not. And the other investments. The last thing I want to say is I remember a car commercial. I was having a midlife crisis a number of years ago, and there was this car commercial that said, it was for a convertible, you know. That's what I want, but I'm never going to get one. Not only is it well, I won't say that because some people here have one. But you can't use it too much in Oregon. Costs too much. It said, put one of these in your portfolio. These days, they wouldn't run an ad like that, I don't think. But I think our Lord would say, make sure you're putting these in your portfolio. While you're worrying about your family's finances, or you have a lot of money and you want to make some more, make sure that you have these in your portfolio, because they're going to survive death. And they're really going to pay off. Kindness toward my neighbor. Generosity toward others. Prayer. Make sure that you have these in your portfolio. And when everything else fails you, you will have one friend that will not forget who you are.